I'd like to welcome each and every individual to Mastermind Partnerships. Hi, my name is Kevin King, and I'll be your facilitator for this call, Over 60 and Loving Life, Special Edition, Dimensional Marriage. If you do have any questions, feel free to connect with the individual who invited you to participate in today's session, or you can call toll-free 888-230-2300. That's 888-230-2300. Or if you're calling in outside the U.S., you can call the U.S.-based number at 630-393-9909. That's 630-393-9909. Let's jump right in. Wow, last week was most intriguing. And the assignment that we had asked is for ask your spouse, how would you get to the deepest understanding, the deepest level, the innermost part of their heart and their soul? So how do you get to your spouse's deepest part of their heart and soul and have a great understanding of that? So we're going to open up the lines here. Mark, welcome.
Thank you.
What would you like to accomplish today?
My bandwidth is being stretched. I didn't get my assignment done, and I'm like, man, I knew that was going to happen. And so
let's open it up.
What's that?
Let's open it up. I mean, do you have an idea of the deepest understanding or the innermost part of your wife's heart?
Well, one would think so after 30 years, but I would say it ebbs and flows. And so, I mean, I think it's going to center around her passions, and so there's quite a bit of passions. The thing is, they're short-term and long-term,
mm-hmm.
And so it'd be great to have her on now, because in the short term, she's not a real happy camper with me. And so, you know, is that going to produce a deepness in her heart, you know, later? I don't know. I'm not sure.
Appreciate your honesty. You think, but you're not sure about the long term. But isn't that interesting? In the short term, our spouses might not be a real happy camper with us. But maybe because we understand their passions, is it possible to have them not be real happy with us in the present, but in due time? They see that we really do have their deepest, a deep understanding of how they work? Is it different for men and women?
Yeah, and I would say that, you know, 90% of our conflict in our marriage is going to be our kids. And with seven of them, I mean, you know, her approach to life and parenting is, you know, and raising children is so, in many ways, very, very different. I mean, spiritually it's going to be similar. You know, financially it's going to be similar, but as it relates to, you know, a lot of other pretty important things to me, you know, maybe not that high of a priority to her, or she doesn't even see it.
Mm. Mm.
And so when, you know, from my perspective, when my wife has blind spots and many times she will acknowledge those. She'll say, yep, I'm not very good at that. Yep, I need to improve in that. But then she doesn't seem to be able to make the breakthroughs. And my kids have those same blind spots, those same areas, you know. And so, what does one do?
That's a great question. That's a great question. Teresa, let's open it up here. Do you have any ideas here from a female perspective?
Sorry, I cut some of that with the unmuting. Just female perspective on all of that.
Yeah.
Well, I unfortunately didn't get that assignment done, but it was more trying to figure out how to introduce that topic I did ask about the three things, but I guess my question is, how do we start this topic to know one another's depths if maybe we don't even know our own?
So how do we know the other person's depths if we don't even know our own? Is that the question?
Yep.
Wow. That's intriguing. Well, is it less about us and more about them?
See, I think
it is about them, but if you're asking them how maybe they would have a better idea what's in somebody else's heart than their own.
Okay. Mark?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think that a lot of times we're projecting, you know, into other people, you know, really what's in our own heart. I mean, often we can see into other people's hearts maybe better than we can see in our own. We can see other people's motivations better than we can see our own.
That's kind of why I asked the question.
What's that?
I said that's kind of why I asked the question, if she had some insights.
Right. Right. So, Teresa, you're saying you're struggling with broaching the question or trying to broach it in the right way?
I just feel it's at like a much higher depth and level than the three things for marriage question.
I see.
And I mean, you could just throw it out there, but like to even understand and or help people understand what it's coming from if they don't participate in this. If that makes sense. Because I even asked, you know, what are the three things you find are helpful in a marriage or help create, get you to the next level? And I did get an answer, but it was kind of like, what's that all about? Because he's not participating. So we talked through it, but...
Does he know you're participating?
He does now, because I asked him the first starting, yeah.
Okay. And is he good with you participating?
He didn't object, so yeah.
Okay. And, you know, would he like to participate, meaning either participating live or he could listen to the rebroadcast of it?
I can ask.
Okay.
He can't attend now, for sure.
Sure.
So
sure.
I think he would probably most easily participate through my questions to him in our discussion. If that makes sense, like how I asked him the homework and then we talked about it, and then I think that would be his easiest mode of participation.
So is that what you
offer
want is the easiest mode?
Sorry, what?
Is that what you want is the easiest mode?
No, I mean it would be interesting to have him participate. I could ask.
Yeah. So a lot of times I think, Kevin, it's just like jumping into the water. The more we go, is it cold? Is it deep? Is it this? You know, it's like we overthink it. We're not sure. We make something bigger than what it is, and then all of a sudden it is bigger, but it's not bigger because it's bigger. It's bigger because we've made it bigger.
So we're projecting.
We're actually implanting fear or concern in other people. Like they're tentative, like our tentativeness, they're tentative because we're tentative.
So if we were more relaxed, maybe they'd be more open?
Right. Yeah, it's like, hey, you know, what are you, and then just throw out the question. I mean, what's the worst thing that's going to happen?
They say, no, I don't want to, so I guess, yeah.
Well, no, they could get upset. They could get mad and angry. You know, that's the beauty about marriage. I mean, if you're really committed to a lifelong marriage, you can try stuff on marriage you can't try anywhere else. Because, I mean, it's like, what? I mean, okay, so she's going to be mad at me for a day or two. I mean, okay, well, why did she get mad? Well, she got mad for this and this. Oh, okay. then I can choose to either do it next time and then she'll get mad again or not. Or maybe I'll do it next time and she won't get mad. I mean, just because she got mad once doesn't mean she'll get mad again.
And then fear prevents us from going and asking it the second time.
Right, it's the little elephant principle, DNA for life.
Right. Interesting.
What about Randy? What does he think? Or maybe Misty, I'm not sure.
I don't know. He's on another call right now, so I just jumped on for it.
Okay, cool.
Cool.
Any thoughts that you have, Misty?
No. In the realm of marriage, I can use all the help I can get. So my question was just the one that I had on Tuesday was, how do you take your marriage to the next dimension? So
what I would do is I would ask 1 to 10, ask your husband, and in your own mind, come up with an answer before he comes up with an answer. So 1 to 10, how would you rate our marriage? Ask him that, and then say, and, you know, what would you like it to be? And then get that. And whatever you do, don't ever punish a man for sharing his feelings. It's why men have a lot of feelings. I think men may have more feelings than women. But they get punished psychologically for sharing their feelings. And so they don't. And then women get all upset for their husbands not sharing their feelings. And it's like, well, don't punish me then. I mean, do you want to know what I have to say or what I feel or not? I mean, if you don't, then don't ask for it. And so you just, it's indifferent. It's like if he says, it's a 2, and he might do that just to tease you. And so he says, it's a 2. And you're like, oh, thanks for sharing. I really appreciate that. And you're good with a 2 because you understand dimensional thinking. You might be a 9, and he might legitimately be a 2, and his 2 could be higher than your 9. It's fine. It's not a big deal. So it just is what it is. So you just say, what would you like it to be? And then he'll say, if he says, you know, an 8 or 9, you know, if he says an 8 or 9, then he's probably analytic, okay? And because nobody gets to a 10, and then you explain, oh, no, you can get to a 10. It's a masteries of this dimension, and then we go to another dimension. And then you might say, what would it take to get to a 10? What are some suggestions on what it would take to get to a 10? So what you're doing is mapping it out. So I do this with my wife and my kids periodically. 1 to 10, how'd you rate me as a dad? And then they tell me, and then I say, oh, okay. And what would it take to get to a 10? And then they tell me. This doesn't mean I'm going to do it because they're looking often in the short term. Give me something, Dad. Okay. But at least I know. At least I'm aware of what it is that, you know, what they would like to do. And then you just, once you do that, that's very intriguing. And so most, you know, spouses are going to say, what's that about? And say, well, I attended this dimensional living, you know, mastermind group, and I'd like to take our marriage to another dimension. Well, what does that mean? Say, what would you like it to mean? I mean, there are some things, Misty, your husband would love. I mean,
well, he is analytic, and he did say 8 or 9. I didn't ask him what he would like it to be because he proceeded to tell me that we probably couldn't get there because of our work schedules and stuff like that. But, you know, my thing is that if we just come through a really rough time. So a lot of pressure was applied over the last year. It got really ugly to the point that I didn't think that it could get good. And now it's better than it was when we got married.
Nice.
So for me, that's weird. I mean, how that happens. And then now I'm trying to help someone else.
Why is it weird?
Huh?
Why is it weird?
It's weird because I was so in love. When you get married, you're so in love. And then you go through this real, and you never think when you're standing in front of them that day, you never anticipate the trials and the tribulations that your marriage is going to go through. And then even your thought process through that, and then it happens, and you know, worst case scenario, you want to walk away. You don't. You question if you can even make it past that and it be what it once was you know, so you're like, okay, yeah, I'll try because it's, you know, the right thing to do and it's, you know.
Are you familiar with what happens when a broken bone heals?
No.
When a broken bone heals, so a lot of emotional stuff is revealed through physical. So the emotional stuff, so the breaking of a bone, when it heals, it's stronger than before it was broken. I'm told that it'll never break in the same place twice because it's so strong. Well, that's kind of weird. You'd think it would be weaker, but no, it doesn't. It's actually stronger. And so if that happens to our bones in a physical sense, why would it not happen in emotional and relational sense too?
Makes sense. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool. It's cool. I mean, the same thing is true. Like, the same thing is true with deep, deep, like, massive hurt. Like, when a shark, you know, bites your arm off, I'm told you don't have any pain. Why not? Because you die. So the drugs in our brain kick in and shut off the pain. You don't even feel that there's no pain. It's like your arm's missing. Now, you might die of shock, like I would die of shock because I'm just like, oh, that's pretty freaky. But it's not because of the physical pain. It's because of psychological stuff. And so the pain doesn't come until after. The same thing happens. The same thing happens when there's a big emotional jolt that we don't process emotionally things. You know, it may take us a month or an hour or, you know, a week or a year or 5 years or 10 years to process stuff. So with me, I tend to process stuff really fast. And my wife tends to process stuff really slow. So I want, when there's a conflict, I want to fix now. She would rather wait. The challenge is if we wait, once we miss the quick opportunity, then it like never, you know, for me it's like, fine, I'll just wait another week or month or whatever. That doesn't work. So we're not in alignment there. So what has to happen for me is I have to give her a little more time than I'd like, and she has to respond a little faster than she would like. Make sense?
Yeah.
Cool.
Angel.
Yeah?
Angel?
Sorry, you say my name, yeah.
Okay.
I'm here. I asked my husband that question, and kind of along the same lines of where Teresa was going with not really knowing, you know, how to get down into yourself. And he like responded that he didn't really know like how I could really understand him. And I figured he would answer that way. But we tried to talk it out a little bit, and it kind of came down to understanding his passions and what really makes him excited in life, and also just because he doesn't have a tendency to offer what's going on in his head to me. You know, I always have to ask him and ask him very pointed questions if I want to know things. And so that's kind of where he was at. He wasn't fully sure, but I've noticed that in the past with, like, when I want to understand him or, you know, be able to reach him that deep down, it's really understanding, like, his passions and where, what is most important in his life and then meeting him there. So, I mean, it's not really deep, but that's kind of what we had talked about as a couple.
It's pretty
cool.
Deep. I mean, for being married less than a year, that's great. See, I think if both of you establish some of these disciplines early on in your marriage,
mm-hmm.
you know, when things may seem pretty tough, but boy, they're pretty good. You get some kids mixed into it. You get some life stuff thrown at you. You get some teenagers. It's like, oh, my gracious. The stronger you can hit those other seasons in life and the better your disciplines are in relational disciplines, you know, the stronger that's going to be. Cool. How about you, Kevin? Did you do it?
Yeah, I got a chance to talk to Christy and said, so, you know, we sat down for lunch and I just said, hey, so how can I better understand the deepest part of your heart? And she paused and she said, when, and it may sound different than what you think, but I'm really affected when you use your giftedness in the way I know you were created in other people. Oh, really? Like, for instance, she goes, yeah, when you disciple our kids intentionally, when you take time one-on-one with them, it really, really affects my heart at a deep level. So it's really cool. And so so I'm looking for ways that I can continually, intentionally be there for our kids. Now, you know, they're 24, 20, and 13. So they have very different needs. And so I'm excited to see how I can do that and share that with Christy.
Nice. So what, like when she responded, like she responded, you guys are married how many years?
28.
So when she responded the way she responded, how did that make you feel?
It was really cool. It was really
Why?
Cool because I felt there's times that I've really, I've intentionally, you know, and I want to do that even more now. I was doing it for myself and for the kids and of course for our marriage and Christy, but now I want to do it even more for her. It was like, wow, it's so cool. You could be doing certain things that you think are really building into your spouse, and you are to a certain degree, but it's not like the deepest part. And when you do like the deepest part, now I'm like, I'm seeing that if that's what I really focused on, it's not that I neglect anything else other than, you know, being there intentionally with the kids and really building into their life, but it's that it means so much more when I do that, and I know that now that's going to be even, I'm more excited about that, doing that now, because it's affecting our marriage at a deeper level, affecting Christy.
So this triggered a whole bunch of stuff for me. One of the lists that Misty has, or one of the items on her checklist, she and I were talking a while back, and we were talking about dimensional marriage and then dimensional intimacy, which is a subset, you know, within the marriage, the physical intimacy. And I remember chuckling when my oldest daughter got married, and, you know, I don't know, we saw them 3-4 months after they got married. And, I mean, my gracious, it's like, get a room. You know, it's really cool. I mean, it was like, I'm just chuckling, and I'm like, huh, yeah, I remember that. And then as I reflected back, you know, 25 years, and I thought, you know, it's intriguing where the wife thinks she's really giving, but she really wants something from the husband, and the husband thinks he's really giving, but he really wants something from his wife. But it works. I mean, it works. They both get what they want. And I'm like, okay, so if God built that in to a husband and a wife, why? Like, why did he build it into them? And that's where if people understood selfless selfishness better, I think their marriages would be, like, spectacular. It'd be like people don't recognize how, like, crazy, insane, like it's 1,000 times better than on the wedding day or wedding night. I mean, it's just like, whoa, really? Yeah, no, it can be that wild. It can, and it's like, and so, like, when you respond, Kevin, that's why I wanted to hear your response. You're like when she shared you using your talents to impact the kids, I mean, that's one of the fastest ways to a woman's heart is through her children. And it's I don't think men understand that. I mean, they don't think they get it. They're like, no, they were in the womb for nine months. This is a part, you know, of the woman, and it's like an extension of who she is. And so it's one of the and so what Christy did is Christy got something from you, and you got something from Christy in doing that. And it's like, why would we not do that more often?
Right.
And so
right.
I think it's like income, Kevin, when you ask a group, you know, when you ask a group of people, how many of you want to make more money? And
right.
Like
all the hands go up.
No, they don't actually. Like half the room will kind of tentatively put their hands up and the other half won't. Why not?
Because they're afraid of what that means.
To get there, yeah.
Yeah. It's hard work. It's like, I got to work more hours. You know what? I don't want to work more hours. I'm fine with the money I'm making. So when you ask a husband, you know, and I think women are maybe more interested in this. Why? Because men don't understand the benefits they will get. I mean, they do not understand. When a dimensional shift happens in our marriage, I think I gain more benefit than my wife does. And I don't think men understand
that?
It.
Because you understand it?
I guess. I don't know. It's just, you know. And so it's like, it's not working. It's where you both lay it out on the table and you say, this is what my heart's desire. This is my passion. This is my interest. This is what I really, really want. Okay, cool. What do you want? And then, you know, the wife lays it out and says, so this is what I really want. And so it's like, huh. I mean, what's happening in the early years of marriage, that's happening naturally. Like, it just happens. A lot of it's because of the physical. And so it just happens. It's not like the wife doesn't have to work real hard at it. Husband often, you know, they don't have to work real hard. It just happens. It happens naturally. But after a few years, after a few decades, it takes more work. But that work can be, it can be fun. I mean, it can be really, really fun. It can be really, really cool. And it can be so much more rewarding. And so, like, for a husband, like a wife, like if a husband's not, like if a husband's not, like he's not real interested in it, have him talk to me. Because I'll make him interested really fast. I mean, I'll help him see. Maybe we just someday just have a, you know, a husband's only call. And just have husbands say, well, this is what I'm afraid of, and this is what it's going to be, and this. It's like, no. It doesn't have to be that way. And they're like, you don't understand my wife. It's like, yeah, I know, neither do you.
And then you chuckle, and then it's crazy time.
Right.
Wow. Interesting. Well, we're almost out of time here. Any other last comments that people would like to make? Observations?
We are just about ready. Life Masteries, who hosts this and everything, puts it together, is just about ready to have a form, and they may even have it up, a discussion form, where, you know, this recording could go ahead and be posted. And so I think, like, people are a little intimidated, or maybe it doesn't work in their schedule to participate. But a discussion forum, somebody can go and look at the discussion, and if they want to participate, they can. And if they don't, they don't have to. And it would be a way that we could share this with other people, you know, our parents, our siblings, and say, hey, here's a dimensional living call. And then as we, you know, as the five of us discuss it on the forum and say, oh, this is really cool, and Kevin shares what Christy, you know, he and what Christy did, and it's like, really? Oh, that's really cool. And, you know, Angel shares, and Teresa shares, and Misty shares, and I share. As we start to discuss it, you know, online, you know, throughout the week, and then invite other people to participate in it, what we're doing is we're sharing, like, the most amazing gift maybe on the planet. Well, it's one of the most amazing gifts, I think, on the planet. And it leads to, I think, the number one gift.
Amazing. Wow. Appreciate you sharing. If you're listening to the rebroadcast and say, wow, that was really intriguing, and you received benefit, then go to thevisionproject.net. That's thevisionproject.net, and go to what's your biggest challenge. Then go to your help is needed. You'll be able to learn more about the Vision Project and even contribute to the group-funded app. And if you do have a question about the material in today's session, you can contact the individual that invited you to participate, or you can call toll-free, 888-230-2300. That's 888-230-2300. Or if you're calling in outside the U.S., you can call the U.S.-based number at 630-393-9909. That's 630-393-9909. God bless and have an amazing day.